Before the days of the internet, if you wanted the latest on local music and art, Southeast Michiganders turned to magazines like Orbit. For 35 years, Orbit and earlier publications like Fun and White Noise shed light on the creative community of Southeast Michigan. And when Orbit stopped publishing in 1999, it was seen by many as the end of an era. But next year brings a fitting tribute to Orbit, a coffee table book with the best of Orbit. It'll be called Reentry, the Orbit Magazine Anthology. Rob St. Mary is a Macomb County native, a radio reporter and writer. He now works for Aspen Public Radio, and he's going to put this book out thanks to a great big helping hand from a Michigan star. More on that in a moment. Rob St. Mary, welcome.
Thanks for taking the time.
Tell us, how important was Orbit to Southeast Michigan, in particular to the arts and music scene?
Well, I mean, I think that we have become so accustomed, I would say, in the last 15 years to going to our phone or going to our laptop or tablet or whatever to look for what's going on in town that we forget that we actually had to pick up actual physical magazines and look at those bar ads and look at those calendar listings and all of those things. And I think what Orbit did really well from 90 to 99 when it was around, and then the earlier magazines, was it gave that kind of connection to what was going on in the scene. And I think more than what the Metro Times was doing at the time, I think the Metro Times has changed a bit since its sale in 1999, the year that Orbit went out of business, is that it really was linked in to that community, was really linked into the arts and culture, because there was a lot of people who were in that scene who were musicians, they were writers, and they came to work with Jerry Peterson and the folks at Orbit because it was a little bit of a hipper place and more sort of a garage band atmosphere as opposed to something that was much more serious. I mean, it took what it did serious, but it didn't take itself serious. And I think that that's the reason why people still talk about it years later.
Tell us about Jerry Peterson, a.k.a. Jerry Vile. In fact, I saw you wrote you didn't even like him at all when you first met him, did you?
No, Jerry is a very polarizing guy. When I first met him, I had a run-in with him when I was 20 in one of the final years of Orbit. He ran a small piece on me and a film that I had done in 1998. And was thankful for the press, but when I met him, he kind of had some backhanded compliments, and I was like, who is this guy? And I was 20 years old and really didn't understand who he was or what he was doing and sort of his attitude. And as I got to know him, what I realized is I would say he's probably one of the most important figures in Southeast Michigan culture in the past 30, 35 years. And what I mean by that is not only for his own work, which he recently got attention for during the bankruptcy with the Crisco can under the Joe Louis fist and the sales tags and street art stuff that he was doing. He's been running The Dirty Show for the last 15 years, which is an international erotic art exhibition that takes place in Detroit, which features international artists. But through those magazines, from Orbit and Fun earlier, which Fun was 86 to 90, and from my research as the first free humor magazine in America, it predates The Onion by 2 years. And also going back to 1978 in the Bookies Detroit punk rock scene, in which he started with Paul Zimmerman, a good friend of his, White Noise magazine, which covered the Detroit punk rock scene, and also those who would come into town like the Ramones and Devo and things like that. In his own band, The Boners, Jerry was a very important guy because he's sort of this P.T. Barnum-esque kind of guy where he brings everyone together and he puts on a show. And he can be very polarizing. His jokes are very satirical. But once you get to know him, you realize that, you know, he's a very smart man and he's a very nice guy. It's just he has this gruff exterior of a punk rocker. And I asked him one day, I go, with a name like Vile, did you feel you had to live up to that moniker that was given to you? And he didn't quite know how to answer it. But I think in some ways, maybe in his youth, he did try to live up to that name a bit more than he does now that he's almost 60.
Rob, did the internet kill off Orbit and the magazines like it, do you think?
Well, I think that it changed alt publishing as we know it. When you look at Orbit, you see sort of what eventually became of something like Vice. I think the change was inevitable. I think that when you look at newspapers and you see how so much is web first and it's not so much about the actual printed material anymore, and it was just going to happen. It was just going to change. The reason why Orbit went out of business in 1999 was basically a combination of personal issues and business. I mean, Jerry will be the first to tell you he's a great idea man, but not necessarily the best businessman. And he had tens of thousands of dollars in outstanding bills from his advertisers who didn't pay. And as a matter of fact, most famously in the final issue of Orbit in the fall of 1999, ran what he called the weasel list, where he went out of his way to hammer everyone who didn't pay him up. And you know, I think it is a hard combination to try and do print these days. But I think that what you see is, you know, the web is coming into its own. But the question is can people actually make money there? And I think the value of those magazines and of that time, and I hate to sound old at 36 and, you know, wistfully nostalgic, is that there was a certain curatorial attitude. I mean, you knew that if this person was writing and they were doing the reviews or they were talking about something or someone, you came to understand them and you came to appreciate what they were giving you. And I think that's what you see sometimes on the web with certain columnists and things like that, maybe Andrew Sullivan or, you know, David Carr or something like that. But I think it was even more so on the local level when print really was king.
And speaking of print being king, Rob, what gave you the idea of putting out a coffee table anthology of Orbit?
This is kind of funny. Probably about 5 years ago, I said, you know, the book that I would always want to buy would be about Orbit because I grew up with it in high school. It was very important to me in terms of my ideas, in terms of how you cover arts and culture and how you can have a sense of humor and an attitude in your writing. And I had mentioned it to a mutual friend of mine named Rick Menor, who used to own CPOP Gallery in Detroit. And he knew Jerry, and he goes, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Well, a few years later, I finally was freed up enough to have some time to do it. And I went back to Rick, and I said, remember when I mentioned that book idea? Well, I think now I can do it. And he got me in touch with Jerry, and we worked from there. And originally when I started it, because I grew up reading Orbit in the 90s, I didn't know about Fun. I didn't know about White Noise. I knew that Jerry had been part of the Detroit punk rock scene, but I didn't realize how important that really was to that DIY attitude that was in that magazine that I read as a teenager and had an impact on me. So I had to go back and do the research, and I went through basically 15 years of monthly magazines and just sort of talked to all the connections and all the connectors. And it was just amazing to see how they covered things and people that years later would get big attention. Like, for example, in issue number 9 in January of 1991, you meet a 19-year-old rapper from Romeo named Bob Ritchie, then Kid Rock.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just a rapper. He's just, you know, this kid who's starting out, just put out his first record. And by the end of the run in 1999, he's advertising Devil Without a Cause. And that was the album that put him over the top. I think the last time I checked, it sold 12 million copies. So you have people like that. You see Jack White as a humble upholsterer, age 22, in a Man on the Street box. You see Eminem in there early. You see techno in there early. You see so many different things in there. And it's just amazing to realize that all of that is in there. And really what I like to say is it really is sort of a book about 35 years of Detroit underground culture, from the Detroit punk rock scene all the way forward to, as I said, the Dirty Show and what Jerry does today with the street art.
And with all of that in mind and the stories you were just telling us about those folks in their early years, you turned to crowdfunding to raise the money to get this project off the ground. And tell us about a recent call you got from one Carol Ritchie.
Yeah, the funding through the crowdsourcing campaign was about trying to offset the cost to Wayne State University Press, which is a nonprofit university press. And they're undertaking this book in a way that they never have with any other book. It's going to be very involved, very detailed, and heavily designed. So they said, well, we're going to end up spending quite a bit on this. We would like it if you could raise maybe $17,000 to help offset the cost. So I said, great, let's try a crowdfunding campaign, because they had had success with this earlier when they had done a book on historic places of worship in Detroit. Beautiful book, by the way, if you're not familiar with it. And so I said, well, let's do a crowdfunding campaign. And I put it out there. And a few days into the campaign, I get an email from a Carol Ritchie. I have no idea who she is. And she says, hi, my name's Carol Ritchie. My brother is Bob. You know him as Kid Rock. We'd like to give you $20,000. And, you know, will you send us the Niagara painting that you're offering? Which it was out of my own personal art collection. I put that up as kind of a joke. You know, I mean, when you look at Kickstarter campaigns, sometimes they'll put like, hey, you know, for $1 million, you can have this kind of thing. And that's what it was for me. I figured, well, you know, 20 grand, nobody's going to write me a check for that. I'll put this painting that I love that I bought a few years ago up, and we'll see what happens. As luck would have it, he decided to step forward. And I'm eternally grateful to Kid Rock and his team. They've been great to work with so far. far. And it's just been amazing to see that someone who, like I said, started with Orbit, they gave him his first press. He took part in things like their karaoke nights. He took part in their legal benefit when they got sued over an ad that they ran. You know, he was very involved with Orbit over its 9-year run. And I think that he heard about it. I don't know how yet. I'm still waiting to interview with him for the book. I think he realized sort of that's where it came from. Those were the people that supported him in his early years. As a matter of fact, one of the pieces that he used to use for his backdrop during his concert tours was this sort of version of The Last Supper. And that photo was taken by Jerry Peterson for Orbit at one point. So there is connections to all of this stuff between the magazine and Kid Rock.
This really is a labor of love for you.
Oh, it totally has been. I mean, I didn't receive an advance. It's been 3.5 years in the making. It was supposed to be done a year and a half earlier. But I'm glad that it got kind of pushed back because I had, you know, I had some personal things. As you said, I now live in Colorado and I work for Aspen Public Radio, so I moved from Michigan. And also, I think that that delay really helped because it allowed me to tell a more richer and fuller story. When you talk about all the stuff that Jerry did with the street art around the bankruptcy and also the recent sale of the Metro Times to another owner, which is now based in Cleveland, and also the closure of Real Detroit Weekly, which was folded into the Metro Times, which was started in part by Jerry Peterson towards the end of Orbit. So really what the book encompasses is not only his story, but also encompasses the story of Alt publishing in Metro Detroit, I would say from about 1978 to the present.
Writer, reporter Rob St. Mary, thanks to the donation from Kid Rock, he has raised enough money. Going to get this off the ground, publishing a coffee table anthology marking the 25th birthday of Orbit Magazine. This book will be called Reentry, the Orbit Magazine Anthology. Rob, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for taking the time.